It's one of nature's most spectacular shows, a total solar eclipse. And we are going to help you plan. This time next year, April 8th, 2024, the daytime sky will go dark across a swath of North America. Astronomer Doug Duncan of Boulder has chased eclipses for decades. He will indeed tell us what to expect next April, and we'll talk about a smaller event happening just a few months from now. Doug, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Ryan.
Share an eclipse memory or two with us, given how many you've seen. Like, what goes on around you? What does it feel like?
It is unbelievably awesome, Ryan. I have never met in my whole life anyone who has seen a total eclipse who forgets it until their dying day.
Oh.
And that's because it looks like the end of the world. It is scary fun, okay? I mean, a lot of people have seen a partial eclipse. And that's interesting. You know, the moon covers part of the sun. If you protect your eyes, it looks like a little crescent. It's not the whole sun. But when the rest of the sun disappears, the world transforms. Okay, let me try and set the scene, okay?
Okay.
It takes more than an hour for the moon to slowly move across the sun. And for like the first 50 minutes, you don't notice too much. But then about 10 minutes before totality, the sun loses all its power. So you're standing there in the sunlight, but it isn't warming you. And then it gets colder and colder. And then a few minutes before the total eclipse, all the shadows of the world get super sharp. The sun isn't the regular big sun. It's like a very small source of light, like a spotlight on a movie set. And everybody's in the spotlight, and it starts to look weird, and it's cold. And then a minute before the totality, you can see Venus, and you can see Jupiter. You can see the bright planets, and then bam, it gets dark. But not just nighttime dark. It's like a deep twilight, and you look up in the sky, and where the sun used to be is the darkest black hole you've ever seen.
And you do that with glasses?
No.
No.
As soon as the sun is gone.
When totality occurs.
Yeah, take off the glasses and you just glory in overhead. And there's pink flames around the edge of the sun and big silver streamers crossing the sky. And people lose it. People start to scream. They start to cry. They start to applaud. And it's not only people that lose it. Animals do strange things. I was in Bolivia at a total eclipse, and we're looking during totality, all looking at the sun, and some lady shouts, "Look down, look down." And we look around, we're surrounded by llamas. In 1999, we were in the Galapagos for a total eclipse on a little boat. 5 minutes before totality, just as it started to get weird, every whale and dolphin in the vicinity surfaced, and they cruised back and forth. They watched the darn eclipse with us. And after totality, when the sun came back, they all went away.
So it was mammals of different sorts watching the eclipse.
Mammals of different sorts, indeed.
How long does totality last?
So it depends on which eclipse.
Okay.
In 2017, I think some of our listeners were wise and fortunate enough to go up to Wyoming.
Yes.
And that was 2.5 minutes. Totality over Texas in 2024 will be 4.5 minutes.
My goodness.
Of glorious totality.
Almost like twice as long. So what will we be able to see from Colorado a year from now? And I guess with you invoking Texas, that gives me some sense that it will be more awesome there.
You know, it's
I don't often say that things are more awesome in Texas than Colorado.
Here, 70% of the sun will be covered in Colorado.
Okay.
So that'll be pretty similar to 2012, there was a similar eclipse here. In 2017, I think it was about 90% in Denver. So it'll be pretty similar to that. And it's really interesting when 3/4 of the sun is gone. If you have special eclipse watching glasses that are 1,000 times darker than normal sunglasses, they will protect your eyes and you can see the moon take a little bite out of the sun.
Yeah.
And over the course of an hour, a little bit more, you'll see a lot of the sun covered over, but you got to protect your eyes.
So do I assume then that Texas is the closest place for the total?
It is. The shadow of the moon is about 100 miles in diameter, but the moon's moving and the Earth is turning, and so that big circular shadow sweeps across the country, and it traces out a stripe. And so it goes through Texas, Arkansas, Indiana, goes all the way to New Hampshire. But I think the weather is better in Texas in April than in New Hampshire.
I mean, Texas is not a small state either. So
no.
We're speaking in rather generic terms.
Yeah, it's going about a mile north of Austin. It's going to graze. It's going to hit Dallas. So it's kind of going northeast, sweeping through Texas.
Before the advent of astronomy, what did ancient civilizations think was going on during an eclipse? And maybe how do we know that?
Holy cow. Holy cow.
Way to catch yourself.
No, it really does look a lot like the end of the world. You know, I mean, everybody knows both intellectually and intuitively that we depend on the sun for life. But this is an emotional, powerful thing. I can tell you for myself. I mean, the Chinese thought it was a dragon eating the sun. In South America, it was a puma. It was a mountain lion eating the sun. In fact, when I was in Bolivia, our Bolivian bus driver, right during totality, started whispering, "El gato, el gato." There's a puma eating the sun. All the hair on the back of my neck stands up during a total eclipse because the subconscious is so powerfully affected. The sun is gone. This is bad. This is very bad. Mm. Actually, mentioning pumas, the only other time the hair stood up on my neck involuntarily was I was hiking and I came around a corner and accidentally saw a mountain lion.
An actual puma.
Puma way too close. And your subconscious just instantly, when something is very bad or weird, goes, whoa. And that happens during an eclipse.
I'm so glad, too, that earlier you invoked temperature, that it gets colder, of course, because the sun is not just light, but heat. There's another kind of eclipse, the annular eclipse, not to be confused with annual. One of those is going to happen in just a few months, October 14th. What is it?
So it turns out that the moon's orbit around the Earth is not a perfect circle. It's a little bit oval. So the moon can be further or closer to us. And of course, when it's further, it looks a little smaller. When it's closer, it looks a little bigger. All the hype about a supermoon is when the moon's 3% bigger. Okay? But it turns out that's a critical 3%, because when the moon is 3% smaller, it isn't quite big enough to cover the sun. So in October 14 of this year, if you're down in New Mexico, that's central for this eclipse, but the sun won't disappear. There'll be a thin ring of light, a ring of fire, all the way around the moon, because the moon isn't big enough to cover the sun.
Huh.
So you can't take your eclipse watching glasses off or anything. That's a ring of fire eclipse, but it's not a total eclipse.
A ring of fire eclipse.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
Johnny Cash.
I think a bunch of our listeners probably went to Wyoming in 2017, and I would encourage you, whether you saw that and you know what's coming, or if you didn't especially, get yourself to Texas. You know, I'm bringing 800 people to totality over Texas, but whether they come with me or come with their own or whether they camp, make a plan if you can drive there. I promise you, you will never, ever forget a total eclipse of the sun.
Part of the difficulty is the getting out afterwards with so many people flocking to one spot.
Absolutely. You know. That's why when I take people there, we already have our hotel booked for an extra night, and we're going to stay because it was 14 hours to come back on I-25 from Wyoming. So be prepared. Everybody's going to go see it if they can.
I like how practical and heavenly this has been. Thanks, Doug.
A pleasure, Ryan.
Astronomer Doug Duncan, former director of the Fisk Planetarium at CU Boulder, where he also taught.